This is Wellness 101, brought to you by the Institute of Natural Health, your home for common sense, science-based health care. Here's your host, Dr. TJ Williams.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. It's a lovely Sunday afternoon out there in St. Louis, Missouri. We are enjoying some unseasonably warm weather. It's fantastic.
I don't know what's definitely enjoying it.
Yes. I mean, what in the world happened here? It's 70 degrees outside.
Don't care.
Right,
don't
exactly.
care. As long as it's not cold, I'm a happy
yep.
camper.
Well, we will take it. The groundhog didn't see a shadow back a few weeks ago, so here we are.
Groundhog is a liar.
Maybe so. All right, guys. So today we are going to be talking about vitamin B12. For those of you who are just tuning in or new to our show, this is Wellness 101. It's a show designed to provide common sense, science-based strategies for a healthy life. I'm your host, Dr. TJ Williams, and with me, as always, is Aaron. Say hi to everyone out there, Aaron.
Hello.
Wow. I got exactly what I asked for. So, anyway, moving right along. B12. Today, we're going to spend an entire session here talking about B12. We're going to talk about what it is, what it does, why it's so important, and what happens when you don't have enough of it. We're going to talk about why the nutrient's so often overlooked, and we're also going to throw in there like why a deficiency is often confused for other problems going on in the body. So buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. It's about to get crazy. Vitamin B12 all day.
Yeah, this is an exciting one because I think we hear so much about vitamin B12 shots and celebrities getting them for energy. And it seems like there are so many places offering vitamin B12 shots. But if you ask someone, you know, why they're actually getting it, most people don't know. And, you know, other than I want more energy or what it actually is doing.
Right, exactly. So let's get into it. So what is vitamin B12? So vitamin B12, the correct name, the scientific name for this thing is cobalamin. It's just one of the B vitamins. It's a water soluble, meaning that the body can easily excrete it if we get a bunch of it, which is awesome. But it's also by far the most difficult B vitamin to absorb. There's a whole complex series of events that has to occur, starting in the mouth all the way through getting it through the intestinal tract to where it's absorbed. We're going to talk about why it's so difficult to absorb later. I just want to point out, though, right now that molecularly, vitamin B12 is the largest vitamin that we know of. You can go online and search, you know, B vitamin molecular structure, and you will see that vitamin B12 is enormous compared to everything else.
No one else is going to do that but you.
I know. That may be very true. Well, and part of this is, too, vitamin B12 is kind of near and dear to me. For those of you who don't know, I actually, aside from being a chiropractic internist, I have a PhD, and my PhD is in kinesiology with an emphasis in physiology, and my dissertation topic, I actually wrote my long, ridiculously crazy, in-depth paper on vitamin B12. And so this is kind of a near and dear to me topic. I'm kind of excited that we're talking about it. So I want to jump right into deficiencies because, yeah, we could talk about all this stuff, what it does. We'll get there. But what happens if you don't have enough, right? There are four stages of vitamin B12 deficiency. Stage one is when we have declining levels of the vitamin in our blood. We may or may not notice this at all, and testing may or may not really pick this up. We're going to talk about testing and how pitiful that is later. Stage two, low cellular concentrations of the vitamin. So it's one thing to have it in our blood. It's a completely different thing to actually get this stuff into our cells. Remember, we said it's an enormous molecule. It's very difficult to transport and move around. We've got to get it where it's needed, which is inside the cells. Then we move to stage three. Stage three deficiency is marked by an increase in this stuff called homocysteine. Okay, so homocysteine is a molecule that is produced normally in the body. It has to do with this protein called methionine. We synthesize this stuff, and homocysteine is a natural byproduct of it. And so it's completely normal for us to have some. But it gets out of control in some people, and when it does, we know that vitamin B12 is lacking. So homocysteine, to explain it, is like sandpaper going through our arteries and veins. And anyone who's been into the clinic has heard me say this a million times. This sandpaper, just like sandpaper roughs up and nicks up a smooth wooden surface, homocysteine does the exact same thing in our blood vessels. It creates cuts and damages and inflammation and all kinds of problems. And when that happens inside the body, that's what makes homocysteine its own independent risk factor for cardiovascular disease. That means you could have nothing else wrong with you but elevated homocysteine, and you'd technically have cardiovascular disease. So we have to pay attention to B12 and homocysteine as well. And then stage four. Stage four deficiency is considered macrocytic anemia. So that's another big word, macrocytic. We'll break it down. Macro means big. Cytic means cells. So we have big cells. So this means our red blood cells are enormous, and they don't transport oxygen very well. They're hard to get through capillaries, and we just create all kinds of problems with that.
So we don't want big red blood cells?
We don't want them that big. There's a classification where they, looking at a CBC, you can look at all these different numbers on there, and it can by interpreting them, you can actually tell how big, what the size and shape of a red blood cell is. So, no, you don't want a great big one. You want them just the right size. It's kind of like, what was the Goldilocks and the Three Bears? The middle one's just right or whatever. Yeah, we need them just right.
So what's important for B12 is that that's the end stage of deficiency, basically.
Yep. And once you get there, basically, you're going to have problems for the rest of your life with B12. You're going to need injections or supplementation of some sort. And we're going to talk about why you would use one versus the other.
So you want to catch it before you get to stage four.
You want to catch it before you get to stage one.
All right. So what are the signs and symptoms? What can people be on the lookout for?
So signs and symptoms. Chronic fatigue. Lots of people out there say, you know, equate vitamin B12 with energy, and that's true. B12 doesn't have its own energy, but it can definitely lead us to chronic fatigue. We can have muscle aches and weakness. We can have joint pain, difficulty breathing and shortness of breath, brain fog. This is a very big one. Poor memory. Numbness and tingling is another one. I want to pause right here. I want to talk about numbness and tingling because there are a lot of people out there that have weird sensations in their fingertips or their toes or whatever. What happens with B12 is B12 is important for our nerve function because it helps our body produce myelin. And myelin is like a protective sheath that goes around the nerves. It's kind of like an insulation on an electrical wire. And this sheath helps the nerves conduct the signals properly. So if we don't have enough B12 and we can't make myelin, then we can't transmit signals up and down our nerves the way we're supposed to. And that's what leads us to this weird sensations, this numbness and tingling and things that go on because we just aren't able to make the signals travel correctly. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I hope I made sense there. Another one is... we listed off changes in mood, depression, anxiety. How many people out there are depressed and anxious? I mean, the numbers are astronomical. And B12 is also necessary for the production of neurotransmitters. So all these things that help our brain and our nervous system communicate, vitamin B12 is integral in making that. Another sign and symptom is abnormal heart problems like palpitations, bleeding gums, mouth sores, digestive problems, diarrhea, cramping, constipation, nausea, and then pernicious anemia. Pernicious anemia, some of you have heard of this. That's actually a very serious condition that can cause memory loss, confusion, and in the grand scheme of things, long term, it can end up causing dementia. So that's an enormous list. Aaron's like looking at me are there more? Can we keep going? This is, again, earlier I said that this is very confusing for a bunch of other symptoms. It could just be a B12, and it's very difficult to diagnose the difference between B12 and something else that may be going because we have so many symptoms that affect so many different things with the body.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm thinking. And a lot of the symptoms that you named seem like they could just be attributed to aging. I can see if someone is experiencing these things when they're, you know, 18 or early 20s or something, then they're going to think it's a problem. But a lot of the things, you know, muscle aches, joint pain, you know, even brain fog, a lot of these things people kind of expect as they get older, right?
Okay. I'm trying not to blow a gasket over here. So I get so sick and tired of just trying to blame everything on getting older. It's complete and utter garbage. It's complete garbage. Yes, we get older. Yes, things don't work as well. But just because we're getting older doesn't mean we have to be tired. It doesn't mean that we have to have brain fog. It doesn't mean that we have to be depressed. It doesn't mean that we have to be anxious. Or it doesn't even mean that we have to have heart disease, right? Pretty much all of these symptoms that we've listed are completely fixable.
Well, and I understand that. But at the same time, isn't it true that it's harder to absorb B12 as you get older? So to some extent, aren't you more likely to see a vitamin B12 deficiency in someone who is older than you are in someone who's younger?
Yes, but if someone's just taking B12 or getting B12 supplementation, you ward all that off. It doesn't matter if they can absorb it or not.
Okay, so it may be. Well, I'm just thinking, okay, so there. It's just as you get older, you're more likely to need some sort of boost with B12.
Yeah. As you get older, yeah, absolutely. But what's sad is at the clinic, and again, I can only speak about my clinic because I don't know what goes on in other clinics. I just wrote up a report for a 24-year-old girl. Woman. Sorry. Didn't mean to offend anyone out there. Her B12 level is extremely low. She has all kinds of crazy symptoms. Problems with her hair, problems with her skin, problems with digestion. And what we notice is that her homocysteine level is elevated as well. So right out of the gate, at 24 years old, I already know that she is deficient in B12 because she has an elevated homocysteine level. Stage 3 deficiency here. Okay? And another thing, looking at her CBC, I could tell just by looking at it that her red blood cells are changing in size. Granted, the whole thing is within medical normal ranges, but she's on the ends of some of these numbers that matter when telling you how big or little the red blood cells are. So this is where it's extremely important that someone's actually interpreting this data, because she's creeping toward a megaloblastic or a macrocytic anemia. She's creeping toward a very, very serious problem that somebody's going to have to deal with. Luckily, I've caught it and we're going to be able to figure this stuff out.
But because she's within medical normals, if she'd gone to a normal doctor, which I don't know if she'd done that before, but would they have done anything?
They would have done nothing. And that's why she ended up in my office, because they're saying, we don't know what else to do and somebody's missed something. So here we are. And we're pointing out things and explaining things, and it just happens to make sense. All right, we got to take a break. I don't mean to interrupt here, but when we come back from the other side of this break, we're going to talk about what vitamin B12 actually does in the body. You're listening to Wellness 101. Welcome back, everyone. We are talking about all things vitamin B12 today. Before the break, we were talking about signs and symptoms of a B12 deficiency. And if you have missed that segment, there are a lot of them. I highly recommend that you go back and check that out on SoundCloud, because I'm not going to go back through all that. It's ridiculous how many signs and symptoms there of a B12 deficiency there are. So this segment, we're going to talk about what vitamin B12 does. So there are a lot of them here too. We're going to talk about, I don't know, we've got a whole list here of things of just ridiculousness that it does. Tons. Okay. So the first one, we'll jump in here with, it helps maintain energy levels. Care to comment, Aaron? I gave her homework. I said, here, we're going to talk about B12. Go see what you can find out.
I wish you had asked me, because this is the one that I could have come up with the answer. I would have nothing after this, but I could have come up with B12 helps with energy.
Go for it, then.
That's it. Oh. I mean, oh. You're going to have to explain it.
Oh. I see how it's working now. Huh. Oh, I thought she was going to go actually figure out how it worked. Well, anyway. So, if energy level's down, what happens? Most people, when their energy level is down, it's actually not due to B12. It's due to not having enough oxygen in the blood supply to be able to actually manufacture energy. B12 itself doesn't actually have any energy in it. It's just very critical for producing red blood cells, okay? And the red blood cells are what transports oxygen throughout the body to deliver oxygen to your tissues to help you not be tired. Without oxygen, you don't live very long, right? So it's pretty easy to see how oxygenated blood can make you feel energetic, okay? Do you know any others that any other things that vitamin B12 does?
No.
Aw.
I can look at your list.
It was so innocent. Just, no.
That's not my job here. That's your job.
Fair enough. Okay. So it helps with sleep, okay? So when people come to our clinic and get a vitamin B12 shot, everyone always thinks it's going to give them energy and it's going to do this. Well, I have to explain to them, sometimes it actually makes you sleep, okay? So how this works is if you can't sleep or if someone's having difficulty sleeping, sometimes they lack this hormone called melatonin. Melatonin helps your body fall asleep. So as we get older, again, this is an age thing, but it can be prevented. As we get older, we are less efficient at producing melatonin. B12 is very critical for melatonin production, okay? So with that, sometimes because B12 helps us make melatonin, if we're not making enough, we can give people B12 shots and they will report back to us the next time we see them, or they may call the office and just let us know, yeah, guess what? I went home and I took the best nap of my life, or I had the greatest night's sleep ever. It's because they all of a sudden were able to produce melatonin because they had a deficiency of vitamin B12.
Huh, that's interesting because it has the opposite effect on me. I mean, you know, it does generally, which I think it sounds like that's what most people have
it
the
is.
Experience.
It's most people, it's true.
That they get more energy from it.
But once in a while, it helps you go to sleep. Well, and it's a nice, comfortable sleep, too.
I know a lot of people who supplement with melatonin in order to go to sleep. So you're saying that instead of supplementing with melatonin, they could just have a B12 deficiency. So if they correct that, they wouldn't need to take the melatonin supplement?
Well, that's a good question. It doesn't quite work like that. I mean, there's still other things that are involved with melatonin production. It's just today's show is talking about B12. So B12 is critical for melatonin production. So if you don't have enough B12, you're going to have trouble making melatonin. But if you regularly get B12 shots or you have very high levels of B12 and you're still not making enough melatonin, that could be something else. There's some other hormones that are involved.
So it could be the cause, but it's not the only cause.
Not the only. Definitely not the only.
Okay.
Another one that it does is it prevents memory loss and lowers your risk of neurodegenerative diseases. What do we mean by that? So B12 deficiency leads to cognitive problems and this condition known as reversible dementia, okay? Reversible dementia is a treatable dementia. I do not want this to be confused with Alzheimer's or other dementias that are much more difficult to treat. You can actually have a B12 deficiency and it lead to what is classified as a reversible dementia. B12 can, by getting your B12 levels up, you can actually reverse that form of dementia. Aaron's looking at me like I have three heads. Is there a question?
Well, I thought B12, though, could be related to Alzheimer's or dementia.
It can. It very well can because there's studies out there that show that when you don't have enough B12, your brain actually gets smaller. It does this thing called atrophy, meaning it gets smaller. And we know that one of the hallmark signs of dementias, Alzheimer's, cognitive impairments and things like that is brain atrophy. So it can lead to that. But if you're talking about reversing Alzheimer's or cognitive impairment that's not related to a B12 deficiency, that's we're talking about two different things.
Okay.
I just want everyone to be clear that we're all, you know, and I'm not sitting here saying that B12 will cure Alzheimer's or anything like
that. Right. Well, and I know, okay, so you were talking about the changes in the brain B12 also affects mood, right?
Yes, it does. That's a big one. It helps the nervous system function properly.
Good job, Aaron.
Yes. Yes. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love it. Huh. Well, she got applause. I've been given all this information. She comes up with one thing, gets applause. Huh. Studio audience applauding. All right. So if you don't have enough B12, you actually can't make this stuff in these neurotransmitters called serotonin and dopamine, okay? They are responsible for making people feel good. And I just want to point out, there are a lot of people out there that are taking antipsychotic or antidepressant or anti-anxiety medications, okay? Low estimates. I'm getting down in a rabbit hole here. Aaron's rolling her eyes and Liz is like, oh God, here we go. Low end estimates suggest that around 1 in 10 Americans take an antidepressant. Well, what if it's just a B12 deficiency? I also want to point out that women age, I just read the study, women age 40 to 50, it's 1 in 4. Not 1 in 10, 1 in 4 are taking an antidepressant.
I'm amazed at how many people I know that are taking either an antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication, and those are the ones, you know, I know of. I mean, right. I'm sure there are many more who don't discuss it. It's kind of amazing to me, and I mean, me being someone who kind of avoids any sort of pharmaceutical at all, you know, I mean, I right. don't want to take anything, but still, that I don't think anyone, you know, not that there should be any sort of stigma with it, but I also think, gosh, if this could just be a B12 deficiency,
right?
It would be great to avoid that.
I'm glad you brought that up. What if it is just a B12 deficiency? All right, we know the prevalence of B12 deficiency in this country is about 47 million people. That's about 15-ish%. I think the population's around 320 million or so. Okay, so 15% of the people. What if 15% of these people taking an antidepressant were just B12 deficient? So, if 15% of 47 million, I don't know what the math is on there. I'm not that good at math. 10% would be 4.7 million. What if we were able to just say, okay, you know, it's a B12 deficiency. We're wiping out millions of prescriptions all at one time just by checking B12 levels and making sure that someone has adequate levels of B12. Because people aren't checking. When patients come in and they're taking an antidepressant, I ask, did anyone ever check your vitamin B12 level? And they look at me like I have three heads or an eye in the middle of my forehead. Like, no, why would they do that?
Wow.
And then I get into this explanation, and then I get the answers of, how come my other doctor didn't run that? Like, I don't
Same
know.
Same reason they didn't do a food sensitivity test, right. which right. could also lead to those problems.
Right. Same reason they didn't check your vitamin D level either, and it's in the tank as well. All right, so enough about that. It's just there are a lot of people taking antidepressants and very well could be B12 deficiency just based on sheer statistics alone, okay? Another one that does is it maintains heart health, okay? We talked earlier about dealing with homocysteine and how it lowers homocysteine, and if you have elevated homocysteine, that you definitely are in stage 3 of B12 deficiency. Remember, heart disease, we talked about this in a previous show. It's the number one killer in America. Check. It's not that hard. It's a very simple, easy test. Another thing it does is it helps with healthy skin and healthy hair. So I've had a lot of extreme cases at the Institute, and it's pretty amazing watching these people improve when we give them what their body needs, right? So a lot of our clients, just for those of you who don't know who we are, don't know what's going on, a lot of our clients are either find us because they're at the end of the rope, or they've been treated somewhere else and the doctor finally says, you know what, I don't know what else to do with you. Go see these guys over here. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, by the time people get to us, they're extreme cases. We take extreme cases. I don't mind taking an extreme case. But it would be a whole lot easier if people would just get checked and figure out. I mean, if what's going on with you isn't working, get checked and see what's being missed.
Well, but I'm guessing that with a skin issue, they've probably gone to the doctor. I mean, they've probably gone to a doctor and been told, well, we don't know what the cause is, or it could be stress-related. Here's a cream or something.
Right. And then they're on that cream for 10 years, and
right.
it never really worked. It never really fixed the problem.
And they might switch them to a new cream. I'm just thinking people probably are trying to have it addressed. It's just the only way that their doctor knows how to address it is to put, you know, put them on a prescription.
That's fair. That's fair.
I don't think people are avoiding it. I mean, especially skin and hair issues.
I'm just guessing women
are like, that's how I am. Wait a second.
Right, right. I'm kind of the same way. I'm particular about my hair, too. for those of you who have no idea what I look like, I have shoulder-length long hair. I'm very particular with that. One last thing before this break that it does is it helps digestion, okay? It helps our body make digestive enzymes, which are needed to help us metabolize and break down the foods in our stomach. It helps our bacteria in our gut grow the way they're supposed to, and the presence of the good bacteria helps us eliminate the bad bacteria. So that's another thing. We do have to take a break. Liz has given me the signal. When we come back, I want all of the women out there who are listening who are trying to get pregnant, wanting to be pregnant, grandmothers out there that may be having grandbabies. When we come back, we're going to talk about how vitamin B12 is needed for a healthy pregnancy. This is a very big one. This is Wellness 101.
Is Wellness 101.
Welcome back, everyone. Today we're talking about vitamin B12. We've gone through what happens when you don't have enough. We've gone through what it does, or we're actually going through what it does. And before the break, I said that when we come back, we're going to talk about how important this is for a healthy pregnancy. So we talked a little bit earlier about homocysteine and how if it's elevated, it's a risk factor for heart disease. Well, here's a little lesser known fact out there that high levels of homocysteine during pregnancy can actually lead to complications during the pregnancy and birth defects. So pregnant women with B12 deficiencies also have an increased risk of having a baby with a neural tube defect, something like spina bifida or anencephaly. The ladies in the audience here are just mesmerized by the information here. They're just, I can't express what's taking place in here. They're just staring, looking down, not even engaged. I don't know what happened. I lost everyone. So if you're planning a pregnancy, it's extremely important to get your B12 levels high enough because these neural tube defects, they happen in the first 4 weeks. This is something that just always baffled me and I never understood is a lady finds out that she's pregnant, goes to the doctor, she's 3 or 4 or 5 weeks along, and the doctor says, oh, here are your prenatal vitamins. They're doing no good at that point. It's too late for neural tube problems.
So is there, but I know that a lot of women take prenatal vitamins when they get into, you know, late teens, early 20s, just knowing that.
Yes, it's much more common now than it was 20 years
ago.
Right,
and so there is B12 in those generally?
There is. You have to make sure that it's the correct form. You need a very specific form of B12 if you're taking it orally to be able to ensure that you're actually going to be able to utilize the B12. I'll throw it out there. You want to take methylcobalamin. You don't want to be taking cyanocobalamin. You have to actually convert cyanocobalamin into methylcobalamin, and the bodies aren't very good at that. Most humans aren't very good at converting. And anytime you have to start converting things, things get lost in translation.
Right.
It's like translating it to a different language. You know, we're going from Sanskrit to Egyptian to English. It's very difficult to do. So that's what's being asked. So back to the pregnancy thing. So another thing is if you're having troubles conceiving or if you've had a bunch of miscarriages, B12 levels being checked is extremely important because it's directly linked. B12 levels are directly linked to infertility and multiple miscarriages. And here's another thing. So if you've already had a kid and you're breastfeeding and you don't consume animal products, so I know some of our listeners out there are vegetarians or vegans. If you don't consume animal products and you're breastfeeding, your baby could ultimately end up with brain abnormalities due to a B12 deficiency because you're not getting B12, so you're not passing B12 to your child.
So that's even if they were born and healthy.
Even if they were born and healthy.
Then.
With no neural tube defects, no problems. Yes, they could create issues down the road if mama isn't getting enough B12 in her diet.
Wow.
So The mama being nutritionally sound is extremely important. That's why we tell a lot of our clients, hey, look, if you're thinking about being pregnant, give us some time. Let us know, because there is a lot of work that needs to be done to ensure the best environment for the little one to grow in.
So do you recommend formula? I mean, is breastfeeding still best?
Breastfeeding is definitely best. Formula, I'm not a huge fan, but I also understand women have the right to choose what they do, and I'm not trying to tell someone what to do and what not to do. I throw it out there, and I work with whatever choice they make. If someone chooses formula, okay, we'll work with that. If someone's choosing breastfeeding, okay, we'll work with that. You know, it's easier to do that than just say, have a blanket statement of don't use formula.
Because right.
What if mama doesn't make milk very well, or the little guy has problems latching? I mean, there are a lot of things that can go wrong.
I guess what I was asking is, you're not suggesting that, you know, formula, if it has B12 in it, is better.
No, because it's likely the wrong form of B12.
Okay.
Because the good form of B12 is rather expensive, and a company that's making, mass producing this stuff, they're not putting the good stuff in. That's my guess. I don't know. I'll be honest. I haven't looked at a bottle of formula, so I couldn't really tell you. I'm just throwing out a wild guess. So sorry, formula makers out there, if you have good B12 in there. So another one that B12 is tied to is leptin. So leptin is a hormone. This is still with pregnancy. Sorry. Good question. I'm waiting on the applause. There we go. That's efficient. So B12 is tied to this hormone called leptin. Leptin is the I'm full hormone. It lets us know if we're eating a meal and our leptin levels go up, it tells us I'm full, so we quit eating. So when mom's B12 levels are low, this affects the gene in the baby that controls leptin levels. This is some of the genomics and genetics research that's come out. So by a mama having too low of B12 level, she's setting her child up to have problems with this leptin hormone. So if a kid doesn't have enough leptin, they don't know when they're full. And so they continue to eat, causing an increased risk for obesity, causing an increased risk for insulin resistance, causing an increased risk for type 2 diabetes. So mom just not paying attention to her own B12 level is setting her kid up for potential type 2 diabetes down the road.
Wow.
Right. Liz is looking at me like,
And this is even with mothers who are of normal weight? And
yes, absolutely. It doesn't mean that, you know, if you have diabetes or if you're overweight having a kid. No, it doesn't matter. If you don't have enough B12, you don't have enough B12, period. So some other things it does, that's enough on the pregnancy thing. Some other things that it does, it helps prevent cancer. B12, how it does this is B12 is really important for DNA synthesis. And we all know how important our DNA is. It's what tells us and who we are and what we're made of. So when your body replicates DNA. If it doesn't have enough B12, it can have problems doing that. So when that happens, we increase our risk for cancer, because that's when cells are dividing out of control. And then B12, we've talked earlier, it helps make red blood cells. So that's what carries oxygen and some nutrients through our body. And when we don't have enough, we get megaloblastic or macrocytic. It's the same thing. It's great big red blood cells. And that's an anemia that we can have. Okay.
So how do we get it?
Under normal, average, everyday circumstances, we would get it through food, specifically meat and animal products. B12 does not come from plants. I'm sorry for those of you who are vegetarians or vegans out there and think that, you know, your seaweed or whatever has B12 in it. It's the B12 that's in there is actually a cobamide of B12. I know that's a technical term. It's basically a pseudo B12 that actually all that really does is drive up your need for actual B12. So you got to supplement with it.
So if you are a vegan or vegetarian, you have to be supplementing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, very rarely do I see a vegetarian or vegan that comes into our clinic that has adequate levels of B12. We talked about the prevalence of B12 already, the deficiencies rather. 47 million are deficient. That's just crazy. There are some estimates out there that as much as 40% of the population has an active B12 level low enough that that they would have symptoms of deficiency. So what I don't understand is that some doctors say you shouldn't supplement with B12, especially a B12 shot. And unless of course you have a proven deficiency. Well, I'm here to tell you right now, the blood lab levels of B12 is pathetic at best. But also, what's baffling is those same doctors are really quick to write a prescription that they see some sort of perceived risk-benefit ratio that goes in the right direction, but yet we're not willing to say the same thing for a vitamin B12. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no known toxic limit to B12. You could drink B12 for days and you're not going to become toxic in it. There's so much information out there showing that levels of B12 aren't toxic. So I don't understand why we're out here saying, well, you can take this medication because the risks outweigh the benefit. But we just talked about all the risks associated with not having enough B12.
Right.
And we're not recommending B12 to everyone and their brother.
Well, and I've had friends that I've said, you know, they're tired and, you know, have different things. And I'm like, why didn't you get a B12 shot? And to me, like, why not try that? And they're like, well, I've asked my doctor and they said that there's no need unless I have a deficiency, and which is funny because it sounds like they probably weren't even tested. And yeah. I mean, it just, I don't know.
Right.
It's kind of crazy that it's not at least tried since there's no detriment.
Right. What's the harm?
Right.
What's the harm? You get a shot. Big deal. All right. We've got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how do you know if you're deficient? We'll be back right after this.
This is Wellness 101.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are rounding out this show about vitamin B12. I don't know if I would say yelled at, but I got told, you got to speed up the process here because we have way too much information to get through.
Yes.
Aaron's like, you got to talk fast.
Well,
so
how do you know if you're deficient and risks and you know how to treat it? So let's get through
all of
this.
Oh my gosh, here we go. Kick the tires, light the fires. Here we go. How do you know if you're deficient? So testing out there is available, but unfortunately, most doctors don't run it. How do we know that they don't run it? Because it's not one of the 7 most common run tests. According to Quest Laboratories, it's also not ran when people bring their lab work to me. When I ask everybody to bring lab work and it's not there.
But even if it's ran, it's not always accurate, right?
Correct. So the B12 test that's out there tests both active and inactive forms. And it's all it does is combine the two together and say, here's your number. Well, the test measures anywhere from 0 to 2,000. Anything higher than 2,000, it just says greater than 2,000. So you don't really know what it is. But up to 80% of whatever that number is can be inactive.
So if it's inactive, you can't use it?
Or? Correct. If it's inactive, you can't use it.
So
it's
basically that's
completely worthless.
Huh.
So you could be measuring a whole bunch of worthless B12. So we have people that have greater than 2,000 registering, but neurologic signs and symptoms or brain fog or things that could be associated with a B12 deficiency. So that's a huge deal. So if they had a level of 2,000 and 80% of it's inactive, they could really have a vitamin B12 level of 400. And if you look at the paperwork, it says right there on the lab work, anything at a level B12 level of 400 or less can present or manifest with neurologic signs and symptoms. So the test itself is flawed from the very beginning.
Right. So a test could even say does it just say greater than 2,000 if you're above 2,000?
It does.
So it could say greater than 2,000 and you would be on the verge. You could possibly still be on the verge of having a too low vitamin B12 level.
Yes. Wow. Absolutely. And, you know, there are other countries throughout the world whose B12 level is their lower limit for what a B12 deficiency is significantly higher than what we have here in the United States. So I don't get it. It's if there's no known toxic limit, why are we piddling around with a low B12 level?
Right.
Let's just load people up.
Well, okay. So who should be? I know you mentioned women who are pregnant earlier, but who else needs to be worried about this?
Sure. So pretty much anyone over the age of 35. And I just throw 35 out there because once someone turns 30, it changes how we, our body changes. This is one of those aging things. We don't make hydrochloric acid as well as we could. And so once we don't make hydrochloric acid, the acid in our stomach is what's required to actually pull B12 from food. And then we may have to make this other stuff. The same cells that make hydrochloric acid make this stuff called intrinsic factor. And this intrinsic factor binds up to the B12 and transports it through. And then it gets to the end of the small intestine where it's absorbed. And so if we're not making enough hydrochloric acid, we're not going to extract the B12. So pretty much anyone over the age of 35 needs B12 because they're running the risk of being deficient just based on the fact that they're not making this hydrochloric acid anymore.
So if you don't have intrinsic factor, you could basically be eating a ton of meat or be taking vitamin B12 supplements all day long and you're never going to be able to actually absorb it.
Correct. That's exactly right.
I was also thinking, I mean, didn't you say before you had a girl recently who was 24 and was extremely deficient?
Yeah. So she's been low for basically her entire life.
So it's not just people, I guess, over 35.
Right. It's very interesting.
So basically the entire population.
Entire population. That's pretty much it. Entire population. We already talked about vegetarians and vegans. They're at risk of being deficient because they just flat out aren't consuming it if they're not eating any kind of animal products. We talked earlier also about the when vegetarians think they're getting B12, sometimes it's a cobamide of B12, which is a pseudo B12. All that really does is drive your need for actual B12 even higher. People that have gut problems, things like Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, there's another one out there called atrophic gastritis. It's actually the most common stomach problem out there. And basically, that's just inflammation of the gut. People who've had weight loss surgery, actually, if they've done a bariatric surgery and they bypass the stomach, the requirements for that, part of that treatment is for those people to get vitamin B12 injections for the rest of their life because there's just no possible way they're actually going to get B12 from food. So that's just part of the program. People taking medications, things like antacids, things that change our acid level in our stomach are going to change our body's ability to be able to extract that B12 from the food.
Right. Well, and this one I thought was really interesting because I think there are so many people who are listening who probably think, well, I mean, low stomach acid isn't my problem. I've got high stomach acid.
Right. And that's not true. Most people, very rarely, I think I've had two, maybe three cases in the entire decade that I've been practicing that someone actually had high levels of acid. And there's a test that you can do. It's a Heidelberg or something like that. It's a German name. You can actually do this test to find out if someone actually has high levels of HydaScan, that's what it's called, HydaScan. No, that's gallbladder. Anyway, you can actually test acid levels to find out if someone has too much or too little. And
then why are so many people on antacids?
Because the sphincter at the top of the stomach is actually controlled by your level of acid. And so what actually happens is if the acid level isn't a pH of 2, which is extremely acidic, that sphincter can relax. Being overweight can cause pressure on the stomach, forcing things up through. And an acid level of like 3 or 4 is still extremely acidic, and it will irritate the lining of the esophagus, making someone feel like they have heartburn. So when you take an antacid, you neutralize that acid to a pH of about 7. Once you do that, when food goes from the stomach into the small intestine, the chemical reactions that have to take place to actually absorb the nutrients don't take place. Now we have someone who has putrefied food going through their small intestine. We have all kinds of things that get disrupted, all kinds of problems that happen, and these people start becoming nutritionally malabsorption problems, and they're going to be nutritionally deficient.
Right. Well, and you had mentioned that the acid is what actually has the intrinsic factor that lets you absorb the B12.
Exactly. So that's that. Antibiotics, they do the same thing. They screw up your gut bacteria. Antidepressants, we touched on earlier. Cholesterol-lowering drugs mess this up. People that are taking anti-gout medications like Uracil and things like that.
Food sensitivities and celiac, I know, are big ones too.
Yes.
Because they affect your digestive system.
Exactly. You actually have patches of problems on your intestines.
And alcohol.
That's a huge one. Alcohol causes inflammation of the stomach. So once we have that inflammation, we're not going to make us acid the way we're supposed to. We're not going to make intrinsic factors, so we're not going to absorb B12. Women taking hormone replacements messes things up. Oral contraceptives, hormone replacement therapy, anti-inflammatory meds. Lots of people out there taking anti-inflammatories because they're in pain or whatever.
So how... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
How
go
can
ahead.
People get it?
How can people get B12? So you can get it from food. Like we said, we always throw out their food, but you have to rely on your digestive system to absorb it. Dietary supplements are available, but form of the vitamin is important. Again, you're still relying on the digestive system to absorb this stuff. It's a very, very complicated process. It's multi-step. It has all kinds of things that have to go exactly right for you to actually be able to absorb this stuff. So, I mean, you can take a supplement, but it has to be the right form. It needs to be a methylcobalamin form. It can't be cyanocobalamin because your body then has, like we said earlier, you have to convert this stuff into the active form.
So if someone actually wants to raise their level, what do they do?
Get a shot.
A B12 shot?
B12 shot. It's way easier to do. Is just to get a B12 shot.
Because then it goes straight into the blood?
Delivers it right into the muscle, and then it will absorb slowly right directly into the blood. You bypass the digestive system. You bypass everything that that would screw up the absorption of it.
And if you don't need it, you'll be okay.
If you don't need it, you'll just excrete it. Hey, that's like a Ronco thing. Ron Popeil. Set it and forget it. If you don't need it, excrete it. Oh, there you go. I'm funny. And I didn't even get any applause. Oh, my gosh. There we go. Yay. I got a standing ovation. Wow. All right. So that's all the time we've got. I think that we made it through everything. Go to our website, check out our information, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. You can call us, 314-293-8123. Please follow us on social media, especially Instagram. We throw out stuff. For Aaron, this is Dr. TJ. Thanks for listening.